Welcome back to the Macam in the Middle podcast, a third from last game of the season away to West Brom, a game which had so much riding on it for both teams. Both teams needed a win in reality, with playoffs still very much in the sight. Sunderland come away with all 3 points, a 2-1 win after going 1-0 down in controversial fashion, I think it's fair to say. And obviously we'll get on to what happened during the game. And once again, what that result does to the table and for the last few games of the season. But first and foremost, John, this is, well, there's three games left prior to this one. And it is very much a case of going into each game solely focused on that game, not worrying about anything else, not worrying about other results. If you win your games, that's all that matters at this point. And what a win it was.
Yeah, a fantastic win. You know, like, I don't think they've lost for maybe since October. I think I'm right in saying that. So yeah. for us to go there, you know, obviously the results maybe helped yesterday and in the week, you know, and it gives you that little bit more confidence. But the squad we've got, we know it's absolutely paper thin. No recognised centre backs, not any real, you know, strikers. To name, so to go there and do it against a team like West Brom, who, to be fair, are a very good championship team, let's be honest. You know, it's a fantastic result, and I think all you can ask for is just to, you know, keep believing and keep, if you've got a chance, just keep firing at it. I know Mowbray keeps playing it down, but, you know, as the players, would you want it to be played down? Because I'm not sure I would. You know, I'd maybe see that as a...
It's quite a difficult situation to be in, isn't it? Because if you play it down, you might lose, you know, that extra edge in a performance that would get you a win against the likes of Watford, West Brom, Preston. But at the same time, if you, you know, with the young group of players that we have and the fact that, you know, we finished fifth in League One last season, got promoted, there was no expectation. If you then play it up too much, that adds a lot more pressure onto this group of players.
Yeah, of course it does. You know, it might be a bit of a masterstroke by Mowbray to sort of underplay it. You know, and the players to turn around, because they're all very good footballers. They're all up and coming in their careers. But, you know, half of them might be feeling, most of them might be thinking, you know, I'll fucking show you. You know, and that can only be a good thing with the talent that we've got, because you had, you know, the dogged performance we put in today and had the quality. You've got an absolutely fantastic team there who can, you know, there's always a team that are going to sneak in. You know, why can't it be us? And, you know, just, you know, it's definitely something I still think we should be aiming for, whilst, you know, maybe the club are, you know, behind the scenes, maybe don't want it just yet. But if, like Michael always says, you can't pick and choose promotion. You know, it's, you have to take it when the opportunity's there. And I think it can only be a good thing. But yeah, on today's one, it's another, we've given ourselves another fantastic chance, but there's another, obviously, two big tests coming first.
Yeah. And, you know, like I say, Michael, that result does take us into the top six, sixth as it stands. A couple of teams behind us have games in hand, which could obviously take them above us. But I think West Brom have Sheffield United, which, you know, whilst they are pretty much already promoted, a win against West Brom would seal it. Blackburn have Burnley, who, of course, have nothing to play for at this point, I don't think. I think they might need 1 point for the title. But the advantage in that game is it is a derby. Burnley haven't really done much in the last few games and probably want to, you know, end the season high. So in terms of them games in hand, that doesn't mean too much. And I know that, well, I think this was one of the games that you were worried that Sunderland would drop points in.
Sorry, just for context of anyone, I'm actually outside in Sunderland talking. So if you can hear a bit of wind and I'm you talking are. Louder, that's why. This is just showing, and by the way, if you don't get a subscribe or what is it, or get a praise for this, then for dedication, then I don't know what will. But to be fair, just a quick say for John was right. The 29th of October, I think the date was, the last time West Brom lost at home in the Championship, which was to Sheffield United. And as you said there, I mean, you look at the games in hand, I mean, West Brom have got, again, I said this repeatedly, if you look at the fixtures, West Brom have got Sheffield United, they've got Norwich and Swansea. Swansea are coming into good form. Norwich is probably the one they'll probably win, to be fair. But, you know, then you've got Burnley, you've got Blackburn, who've got Burnley, Luton and Millwall. Preston have got Sheffield United, then us. Millwall's form isn't great. But you're right, this was a game that I was... out of the last three games, this is the one that I was most worried about. And look, the last two games aren't going to be walks in the park. They present their own challenges. But this was the game I was most anxious about, because West Brom have got a Callers Colbrad, who was 90 minutes away from the Premier League last year. And like John said, they're a solid and very good championship outfit. And the one thing I did notice during the game was how physical their side is compared to ours. But I couldn't believe how young their squad is. Apparently, according to the Sky Sports commentators, they've got one of the youngest, starting 11s or squads in this league as well. So that might have played into our favour. But like you both have sort of alluded to, really, the fact that this was a big win for us. And especially, by the way, I know we'll get onto the penalty incident later, but it would have been very easy for the lads to crumble in that scenario. And sometimes, with how young they are, we probably would have expected it. But to come from behind, get that victory. And actually, when you look at it, we've done it twice in three games. We came from behind against Birmingham as well. And that can only do wonders for the confidence. And like you both said, I mean, if you look at the results that have happened recently, it just furthers the belief. And while it's there, why not go for it?
Yeah. Well, we'll get on to what happened in the game now, John, and I'm sure you've had a chance to look at it now. West Brom started the game better than Sunderland. Sunderland were kind of all over the place first 5-10 minutes of the game. They grew into it a little bit and, you know, probably ended the first half the better team. But West Brom get a penalty. 09 goes into a challenge on Swift. And it was, thankfully, irrelevant come the end of the game, which we'll get on to, but that is a shocking decision in a game that, for both teams, is, you know, a deciding game for the season.
Yeah, I think, obviously, we know how bad the officials are in this league, and it's one of those obstacles that you do, you know, have to overcome. I think even looking back on it, I just think it gives the referee a decision to make. Is maybe his trailing leg that catches him. I think it's one of those, you'll be disappointed to concede it. You'll be happy if you get it. But like we've done it to death all season. The officiating is dreadful. You know, there were things today that were just missed. And I think that was a couple of West Brom fouls that were missed. And obviously our ones that were missed. And I think it's just one of those, you just have to, obviously there's nothing you can do. You have to sort of suck it up and just take it. I'm not even sure what, you know, I saw in the post match, Luke O'Neill said like he didn't think it was a penalty, but he gave the ref a decision to make, and I don't think he needs to go in like that. And you know, maybe just from the referee's position, he sees it as a penalty. It's like I'm watching it now on loop, and it's just, yeah, it does seem a little bit harsh. But ultimately it was given. It's just one of those, you have to, you know, Luke O'Neill said it, you have to dust yourself down very quickly, let it go, and you know, plod on for the rest of the game.
Yeah. And obviously, I'll let you decide whether you think it was a penalty or not, Michael, but West Brom obviously scored it, and that was quite a disheartening moment in the game, really, because, you know, with so much riding on it, Sunderland needed to win, you know, with no centre-backs on the pitch, no, you know, out-and-out number nines on the pitch, going 1-0 down away to West Brom, who, you know, like we've said a couple of times now, haven't lost in something like 5 months at home, does seem like an uphill battle at that point.
Yeah, it definitely did. And as for the point I mentioned earlier, when you look at how young this team is, and given the, I guess you could say, the injustice of the penalty, because you two pretty much covered the penalty call for me, I don't think I need to add on to it. But it would have been easy to crumble at that point. And it's one where I did feel a bit disheartened at halftime, because like you said before, we were the better side. Yeah, first 10, 15 minutes, which you expect, what West Brom were winning the second balls, were showing more aggression, were showing more physicality and want to try and get something from the game. But we grew into the game, and we had, I mean, there was a chance with Ahmed Diallo, we had Clark forced the keeper into a save. So we did, it would have been easy to just fall apart after that, because it was disheartening. And that's probably the most accurate word you can think of for it. We were the better side in the first half, and to go in level would have been probably harsh, but to go in losing, especially due to a controversial decision, put it this way, I would imagine that might have riled the players up to go and do the job second half. But you're right, it thankfully in the end the decision didn't matter.
It didn't, because second half someone come out, John, and it's, you know, we've talked about the games that favour Sunderland and the way teams play against us, and you know, the whole home and away debate. Of course, not about the soap. That is in terms of the away games and the home games. But West Brom obviously needed a win. Sunderland needed a win. West Brom didn't really sit back at 1-0, and I don't think they could have afforded to, because, like you say, Sunderland, even though without that natural striker, still pose a lot of threat in the final third. And that's exactly what we showed, because 6 minutes into the second half, Lyndon Gooch gets the ball. He comes in on the right-hand side, cuts it across to Dennis Sirkin in the middle, heads at top corner, and I think Mowbray said it in the interview after the game. He has no idea why Sirkin's there, but he is, and he scores it.
Yes, you know, first and foremost, it's a fantastic goal. You know, Gooch's got two men on him. You know, it's good, looks like a bit of a struggle, manages to get the ball across. And again, why Sirkin's in there, we don't know, but obviously we need him in there. He's very underrated, you know, in the air for me.
John, yeah, play Dennis Sirkin up front.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, the boy can finish. You know, obviously yeah, we'll get into his second goal as well.
Absolutely.
We'll get into his second goal shortly. But yeah, the boy can finish. It's one of those maybe he because of how young the team is, Mowbray's sort of plan is just let the kids, you know, let them go and play, let them take those shackles off and let them go and do that. And maybe it's not a thing that we would actively encourage all the time, playing sort of a back three, maybe getting him forward, that forward. But ultimately, it's, you know, it's got us back in the game. You know, like I say, fantastic from Gooch, fantastic header into the top corner, probably scored at the right time to maybe settle them down, you know, a little bit. I think they would have been worried because we score in nearly every single game apart from, you know, apart from the Burnley game. So that they would have had that in their, you know, in their psyche, I would have thought. And a little shout out as well to, you know, when the ball goes in,
Joe Geldhart
just turns, laughs in his defender's face and just pushes him over. Yeah, I'm here all week for that type of shithousery. And I've watched that 1,000 times and it's fantastic. Look it up if you haven't seen it. It's brilliant viewing. And like we say, it's got us back on the back on level terms very early in the second half. Sorry.
Yeah, and I did actually quote that video of Joe Geldhart by saying that's probably a penalty to West Brom if the referee saw it. But it wasn't, thankfully. Dan's also joined us because, quite frankly, he doesn't want to join in and talk about Sunderland winning away to West Brom at this point in the season. And I suppose the thing is, I'll add to that, Dan, is with all the players that we have on the pitch and players that we have available, if there is one type of goal you would probably write off before any game starts between now and the end of the season that we would score, it would be a cross into the box and a header. But that's exactly what we scored.
Yeah, first of all, thanks very much. It's been a while, boys. But I had to get in on the act here. I'm absolutely buzzing with that. Yeah, just to add on to what John was saying, I'm sure we'll speak more about Sirkin when we talk about the second goal. I think it's kind of helped us with how injury prone he is, because he's an excellent player, and I don't think he'd be with us if he was always fit, because he every single time he's out on that pitch, he performs in a Sunderland shirt. And
usually scores as well.
Yeah. I think he's not a championship quality player. I think he can easily play at the next level. And we got him from Spurs, wasn't it? Was it Spurs?
It was, yeah.
I think that they'll really regret letting him go, especially today, looking at the scoreline of their match at the moment.
Yeah. I think they have a $6 million buyback clause still on them as well, I think. So, especially after today's game, which at the time of recording is still 6-1, I think. It is 6-1. They could probably do with an extra defender or two. But we'll get on to that second goal now, Michael, because ultimately it is the goal that has won the game and got Sunderland into the top six for the time being. And, you know, we can, you know, obviously we'll do a podcast at the end of the season where we discuss the best goal we've scored, the most improved player, all this, that and the other. But it is just another one of the goals.
Goal should have been the goal of the season.
100%. 100%. Probably so many others as well. But on the topic of goal of the season, this, come the end of the year, will be another one that we do talk about. Because, obviously, there's the video going around on Twitter that Sky have tweeted, and it cuts out probably about 45 seconds to a minute worth of Sunderland possession in the West Brom half, because we get the ball, we recycle it, you know, side to side, get it forward, and when we break with it, ball goes into Pritchard from Michu, Pritchard into Sirkin, and it does take a deflection on its way in, but it's a very good finish. And again, Sirkin, who, you know, I don't know whether he was playing left back or left centre back, but in a position that you wouldn't expect him to be in, but taking advantage of it.
Well, exactly. And it just shows great forward thinking, doesn't it? And that's the sort of that the decisions like that will be the reason that he was probably in Tottenham's academy to begin with. You know, the incisiveness of the run where he manages to also get in between a couple of West Brom players and manage to be able to find enough space to have the shot to begin with is incredible. And like you said, the build up to it was just really, really good. And I think it's fair to say for me, both teams had their chances across the game. I think West Brom did second half, but if you had to say who had the better one, who looked the more threatening with their chances when they had the ball, it would have been Sunderland, because the passing was crisper, the runs were better, you know, the timing of everything was better. But yeah, like Dan was saying before, when you look at Sirkin, he's easily going to be a Premier League player in the near future. And just, well, fingers crossed, that's, well, you never know, maybe that'll be with us for next season, but we doubt it, but you never know. But it's just great from Sirkin. And you can tell how much we missed him against Huddersfield in that regard. And he's got everything. He's got a bit of pace. He's got physicality. I think overall his decision-making is quite good as well. So, yeah, I don't think you can complain with him. I don't know how West Brom have let a left-back run into their penalty box and score twice. But there you go. We'll take it.
We will, every day of the week. And the one thing that people say when, you know, when Stewart got injured, when Sims got recalled, when Stewart got injured again, and, you know, Gelhardt had such a tough start in a Sunderland shirt playing a role that just didn't suit him whatsoever, John, is that we needed players to step up with goals that wouldn't usually have to step up and get goals. Because, you know, most teams have that one player in the team who, you know, score 70% of the goals. You look at Coventry, they've got Gyökeres. You look at, you know, the likes of Sheffield United, who have got Ndiaye and, you know, McBurnie. Every team has that, you know, one player that will score the majority of goals. And Sunderland don't have that, and haven't had that for most of the season. So for the likes of Dennis Sirkin, who I think is now on, I think, 4 for the season, to be able to come in into a game of that magnitude away from home, you know, recently back from injury as well, to then see him go and score 2 goals is just a massive boost, knowing that, you know, anyone on the pitch at the moment can score a goal.
Yeah, that's what you want, isn't it? You know, a team that, you know, can score from anywhere. I know the set pieces haven't been good, but obviously we score a lot of goals from open play. And it's that flexibility within the squad, you know, for Sirkin, you know, to get forward. Do we, you know, it might be one of those things where, you know, West Brom have, we know that they're going to play their wingers really, really high. They play without and out wingers. So maybe it's a thing that we've highlighted and said, look, they are not going to track you if you go forward. You know, I think normally it'd be Trey Hume, who obviously he goes forward quite a lot when he's out on the wing. And I think we saw Gooch, you know, quite far forward today. So maybe it's, you know, one of those things that we do work out on oppositions. But yeah, goals from, you know, from anywhere, especially in open play as well, is, you know, the backbone of, you know, a fantastic team. I've looked at the stats as well. I think we're about 200 passes up on them, and I think on watching the whole game, you probably wouldn't have, you know, you wouldn't have said that. With, you know, did we have as much control as we'd like? Probably not. But I think that's again how we play, and we've always got a goal in us. It doesn't matter if it's from Clark, you know, Geldhart's, you know, slowly getting in there. Roberts and Ahmad, we know how good they are. Dan Neil could do with, you know, scoring one soon. You know, we have got goals from all over the pitch. You know, Barr's chipped in. I think Mitru's got one. I think Dennis Sirkin's actually on 5. I think. He scored, I believe he scored at Wigan or in the home games. Yeah, I think he's on 5 now. So if you've got a left back who scored 5 goals, and like Dan said, you know, he's had his terrible injury record as well. You know, imagine he probably could have doubled that, if we're being honest, if he'd have played all season. And that's, you know, that's a massive asset to have people scoring. And we know for a fact if we had Ross Stewart, he'd be on 25, 30 goals. And I don't think anyone can, you know, can balk at that figure, because I genuinely believe that's what it would be. So, you know, goals all over the place. And like we say, a fantastic, especially away team. Home form worries me. Hopefully Watford try and come and play us off the park and, you know, go for us. And then that'll go for us, obviously, our way. We can play our normal way.
Yeah. There's 5 goals, 1 assist in 26 games for Sirkin from left-back/centre-back, which is not bad. Before we go ahead and look at the next game and the table and whatnot, I would ask you for a standout player, but I don't think anyone would disagree if we just all said Dennis Sirkin, because I don't think there's anyone else really out of place to disagree with that one.
No, I'd say probably not. I think a couple of players I would give a shout out to. I think Hume did play pretty well against some physical defenders, and I thought Jack Clark was a bit of a handful for them, actually. But yeah, I don't know what the other two think, but yeah, Dennis Sirkin, I agree.
Yeah. Any disagreements on that front?
No, there's no debate on that one.
It's a massive team performance. We know this. We've had teams before that have been very individual, but it is massively a squad game. It doesn't matter who's injured, who's not playing, who's come in, who's sulking. Everyone comes in, does the job, and that we saw today. You know, all bodies on the line, no centre-backs, no strikers. People coming in, doing the job. Barr and Ekwa didn't play midweek. You would have thought they'd have their toys out the pram, but to be fair, both come in and did relatively well.
Yeah. Well, like we say, that result takes us sixth. Dan, I'll go to you first on that one. It does take us sixth. Looking at the table, obviously, we are on 65 points. Coventry above us on 66. Millwall below us on 65. Blackburn below us on 65. West Brom on 63. Preston 63. Norwich 62. Swansea 62. Two games left in the season. And up until 12th in the table, everything is still very much open. West Brom, like we've said right at the start, have a game in hand on us, which, you know, if they win, would take them above us, same with Blackburn. But West Brom's is against Sheffield United, who, albeit will get promoted, and I don't think anyone will doubt that, a win against West Brom midweek would secure that for them. And Blackburn's game in hand is against Burnley, away to Burnley, I think, but it could be at home. But again, that's a derby. It's a game that Burnley are going to want to win after failing to win in their last two games. It's still very tight, but everything suggests that Sunderland definitely can do it this season.
Yeah, it's very tight, but it's very, very doable, which is crazy to suggest when you look at 2 weeks ago, we thought that was it. We were out of it. And I think we talk about it in the group chat all the time after a negative result or after kind of the whole draw or where we've kind of lost points in the last few minutes. We're like, oh, it would be such a typical Sunderland thing for us to go and get playoffs and win them. And it really would. No strikers, half a centre-back on the pitch. You know, like, it would be such a Sunderland story to go and get promoted this season. And, you know, with every passing kind of day, I'm starting to believe more and more that it is possible. Now, obviously, you'd be looking at Burrow in the playoffs or Luton or even Coventry.
I mean, as it stands, obviously, there's still two games to go. We might not get playoffs yet, but as it stands, if Sunderland win their games and win the playoff semi-final and Burrow do the same, it would set up for a Burrow Sunderland playoff final. And that's not to get too far ahead of ourselves, because that is still, two, potentially four more games to go until that, but that is how it could pan out.
Yeah, and I think with the likes of Ballard coming back and Bath, hopefully, it just does nothing but strengthens the team. And we're coming up against a struggling Watford and a struggling Preston team now in the next two games. So I do think it's very doable. And like, I don't want to say I'm quietly confident, but I am quite optimistic.
Dan, this is where you do reverse psychology, mate.
We're going to lose the next two.
But you look at the next game, John, and it is Watford at home. And Watford are mathematically still involved in the playoff race, albeit they are 6 points off with two games to play. So whether they get, well, they won't get playoffs. And I think it's not too far stretched to say that. But it's not so much the opposition that we have. It is, again, this is a home game that we have next. And, you know, our home form has been poor. How Watford are going to set up will be interesting because, like I said, they don't really have anything to play for. It'll be an interesting game, but with it being at home, it does put that maybe extra edge of doubt that Sunderland can win that game.
Yeah, it does, yeah. We obviously know it. The home form hasn't been good enough, but what better time to, you know, to put a good performance on at home and, you know, I don't want to say lift the place, but like lift, you know, put in a lift in performance, you know, that sort of galvanises it all at home. Maybe we should think about using the away dressing room and kicking, you know, from the other side that we do normally. You know, a bit of reverse psychology on that one. Watford coming up, they're probably still going to want to try and give us a game, you know, even though they've haven't got much to play for. You never know what type of team we're going to turn up. Hopefully they come and have a real go, because we know when they do, it's the sort of game that does really, really suit us with our attacking attempt. But you know, I think I think we just got to not necessarily worry about them. It's about us and doing the right things. You know, if, in fairness, we'd have beat Huddersfield if one of them would have stuck a foot in, you know, on when that guy ran through, whatever his name is, you know, he had sort of five men around him. Someone, the amount of, they must have been told, because the amount of yellow cards that Geldhart won was the best, just literally just threw his man on the floor, you know. Yeah. That's the type of thing you need, you know, that wins your games. It's just by doing.
I think just to add to that as well, I think there was a point in the second half that didn't actually come to anything, but it did annoy me at the time. And I don't know how early this was in the second half. I think it might have been after you'd started watching, so you might have seen it. But there was a point where West Brom had broke through midfield just about on halfway. The ball goes to towards Dan Neil, and you know, as far as I'm aware, he wasn't on a yellow card or anything. And he pulls out of the challenge and doesn't bring the man down. And the space opened up for them, very similar like it did against Huddersfield when they scored the equaliser. And it's little things like that that Sunderland have to be a bit more streetwise with, because, like I say, it didn't actually come to anything in the end. But, you know, Dan Neil jumping out of that challenge and, you know, not willing to take the foul for the team could have ended up costing us like it did against Huddersfield there. And it's, you know, next two games, things like that are going to be, you know, crucial to seeing out games.
Yeah, I did see that, to be fair. And that was my thought process was he's probably already been booked because, you know, he loves to pick up an early yellow card, you know, right or wrongly. You know, I think it was harsh to get one against Huddersfield. But yeah, we've got to stop those things, because a better team probably does punish us. So yeah, like you say, there's good parts, there's bad parts. But yeah, on the whole, I think at home we really do need to make, you know, I think we need to put in a proper performance, you know, for the full 90 minutes. You know, hopefully they're just on their holidays already, which you'd like to think. You know, their manager won't be there next season, so they're probably thinking, you know, we'll toss it off. You know, that's what I'm hoping for, and you know, maybe we can do to them what you know, Newcastle just done to Spurs. That'll be lovely.
It would be. And just before we get on to what I think your predictions are for the Watford game, Michael, 44 games played, 2 games left. You know, whatever happens in these last 2 games, whether we lose 5-0 in both of them and finish 12th, or, you know, like I say, whatever happens, when you consider the manager change, the injuries, some of the decisions that have gone against us that have cost us points, you know, to still be not just in the playoff conversation at this point in the season, but to actually be in the playoffs at this point in the season, like I say, regardless what happens, is incredible, really.
The way I'd sum that up is, if we end up finishing in the playoffs with all the injuries we've had, with Ross Stewart being out twice, Sims getting recalled, Evans being out for a long time, Alex Neil going, everything.
Elise, Sirkin, Ballard,
exactly. There you go.
Embledon, Jefferson, well. Bennett, Danny Bart.
Exactly. Then I think there's an argument for Tony Mowbray being a shout for manager of the season, because that is an incredible...
It is a very strange thing that he's like... Should he be nominated? Well, would he win it? No, I don't think he would. And, you know, I think there's better managers for it. But when you look at, you know, I think obviously companies, you know, walked the league and won the league. Is it that impressive what he's done with Burnley? Yes and no, but he's won it and he's always going to be there. You know, what Michael Carrick's done at Middlesbrough since he went in deserves recognition. But you look at the other manager that was involved in the talk, and I think it was Mark Robbins at Coventry. I mean, if you we are a point behind Coventry. You know, we're not far behind them at all. There's still potential that we finish above them. It is quite miraculous that he's nominated, and the likes of Tony Mowbray and Rob Edwards, albeit he got sacked from Watford earlier in the season, aren't involved in it.
Well, that's the thing. Where you can imagine how silly that those nominations will look if we finish above Coventry and they miss out on the playoffs. But you're right. I think to be in this conversation alone is miraculous in a lot of ways. But to even be in the playoffs, albeit it's still very congested, it's still very tight, is absolutely incredible and an incredible effort, especially considering we don't have class Geldhart as a striker, but a proper centre forward and like a focal point in the team. To actually not have that and still be in the conversation is something else. And maybe it just shows how good, well, probably A, how much the Championship hasn't really taken us by storm as much as we thought it would. And then also how well we've done, how the fact we actually do have a good side. I mean, the one thing I will quickly say, I think you mentioned about being streetwise. The one thing I think we need to learn in the last 2 games is to not try and play our way out from the back every single time we have the ball. I don't mind playing football, but there was a couple of occasions where that could have cost us in this game, and I think we need to remember that. But on to next Saturday, if you're talking about predictions for Watford, I honestly think we'll beat Watford. I was said in the group chat before the Huddersfield game, I was more confident of Watford than I was with Huddersfield. But Watford are in dire straits in the moment. They obviously have a manager, Chris Wilder, who's not going to be there come the end of the season. They've now pretty much got nothing to play for. They're 6 points off with a vastly inferior goal difference, so they're really not getting in there. If Sunderland can't bring themselves up to win this game, then goodness knows what. And I know our home form's been a bit at best, but I think if the place isn't rocking, if the place isn't rocking next Saturday, then I don't know what the point is. Get behind the lads if you can get there. I've just got a funny feeling in my mind we'll beat Watford, but I might be wrong.
Hopefully so. Dan, prediction for that game? 3 o'clock on Saturday.
I'll take a scrappy 1-0 win. I think just because our home form's been so poor, it's hard to see a
stressful home game of the season if it's 1-0. I'll
take a scrappy 1-0 win, an early goal in the first half from Clark, and then we'll hold out for a clean sheet. And Michael loves clean sheets as well, so we'll do it for him.
You don't need me to emphasise on that anymore.
I hope it's not 1-0. I hope it is at least 2 or 3, just so the nerves would ease a bit.
Stress free game for once.
We can. Just do what them down the road have done today and score 5 in the first 20 minutes and, you know, the last 70 are nice and relaxed. God, that would be stressful if it's 1-0. It'd be even worse if it was 1-0 down. So I'll take a 1-0 win. But John, prediction for that one against Watford at home. Of course, last home league game of the season, I should say. Potentially.
I'd love it to be, you know, nice 2-3-0. Easy win, but we probably say it every week. I'll just take a win. I don't care how it comes. I'll take any kind of win. Scrappy 1-0, beautiful 5-0, whatever comes. Just win the game. That's all I'm bothered about. No one's performances are great. Yeah, but let's just have the points on the board. The points on the board are the biggest thing at the business end of the season. So yeah, scrappy 1-0, but I'd love to see a nice, you know, free flowing 3-4-5-0, even 6.
Yeah. That will be a big boost going into the last game of the season, which is, of course, Preston away, which we've said a couple of times now. 6,000 people going down there, two of which are me and Michael. I don't know if any of you are. But, you know, that could be a very, very, very interesting and enjoyable last game of the season if Sunderland had to win this one at home. But that Preston game is irrelevant. The only game that matters now is Watford, which, like I say, is a 3 o'clock kickoff at home on Saturday. We'll have a podcast out to talk about that on the Sunday or the Monday, and of course in that as well we will look ahead to the final, or potentially final, game of the season away to Preston. But until then, we will see you later. That's all, folks.